2 Timothy 1, verse 13 and 14. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwells in us." Paul has already told Timothy earlier in this chapter that I put thee in remembrance. He is reminding Timothy of things. And now he is going further and saying, I'm not just reminding you of God's truth, but I'm also asking you or commanding you, exhorting you, teaching you to keep these things, to hold these things, to guard these things. I have titled this today, Guard God's Word. Guard God's Word. Firstly, this is the job of the minister of God, is to guard God's truth and God's Word. The Christian doctrine is committed to every Christian. The doctrine of the Bible, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, is committed to every Christian to keep. Not just to live for ourselves and then don't care what everyone else says. It's all okay. It's all fine. You can believe in some other Savior and you're good. But no, to hold the doctrine, which means to also defend the doctrine. Paul exhorts Timothy in other places to defend the Word of God. Here, it's similar. He says to hold fast, which is also another term, defend. Hold fast, defend this form of sound words, which you have heard of me. Sound words. The words which make sense. The words which have a meaning. The words which come from the place where there is life, which is from God Himself. The words of life. To hold sound words. Now, what is so special about God's Word? Or what words is this even talking about? Hold fast the form of sound word which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwells in us. So the hold fast the sound words and the good thing which was committed to you, keep. What is the good thing? Well, it is the gospel. It is the sound words. It is the work of the ministry that was committed to Timothy. These things he should keep by the Holy Ghost. He should keep them. So to guard the Word of God is the job of the Christian. The Christian doctrine, the doctrine of the Bible, the doctrine of Jesus is committed to all Christians in general, but to ministers in particular, to preachers in particular. The job of the preacher is to preach the truth and defend the truth. Now, to the general Christian community, it is also something to keep in your hearts, but it's not the same for everyone that, oh, if someone says something that is not exactly scriptural, that is like 90% correct, I would not tell my wife to go and authoritatively defend and tell them, no, you're wrong, because that's not in her position. Now, she can talk about the Word of God. She can ask questions about the Word of God. She can question them, do you really know that this is the truth? But the authority part, the preaching with authority part is given to men, and it is given specifically to ministers of the Word of God, but it is also given to men. Men have authority, and they have authority in the home, and they have authority in the church, and this is the roles that God has set up. It's not misogynistic to say that. It is simply biblical, because men and women are created differently. They're not created the same. They're created equal in value and dignity, but they're not created the same. They don't have the same roles. So he writes specific to Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words, where he says it is his job to defend the truth and with authority, to defend the truth with authority. The truth of God is found in God's word. If someone comes to you with new revelation and says, look, I got new revelation from God. God told me this and this and this is going to happen. That's not something you're supposed to defend because someone says it out of the blue. We have a more sure word of prophecy, which is in the word of God. Peter says that even when the voice of God spoke to the disciples on the mountain, it was a very sure word from God. And then he says, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. What do we have? We have the word of God written down. Peter is saying the word of God written down trumps, goes above and beyond everything and anything that someone would say to you. Someone says to you, I have new revelation from God. Jesus is not the Messiah. Well, you can right away write them off as a false teacher and a false prophet because the word of God is a more sure word of prophecy than anything you hear with your ears. Now, the job of the preacher, my job, is to preach the word of God to you and exposit it to you. But your job is to question it. Your job is not just to go along with everything and say that, oh yeah, I believe everything he says because he's the preacher here. But your job is to look at it critically, everything I say, and weigh it against other scriptures, against the scriptures that I give to you, and weigh it and check it. Is this the truth? Because otherwise, you're just puppeting what I say, and then someone else comes along, and you like what they say, and then you puppet what they say. That's not a good character trait. That's not a good Christian character trait, something that should be praised. In fact, in Acts, it says that the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians, I think. They were more noble. Why? Because everything that Paul said, they went back to the scriptures to look at it and confirm that what he was saying was true. So to guard the word of God means that we look at the word of God ourselves. We don't go to the priest and tell him, look, tell me, what does the word of God say? Is this true what this person says? And then whatever he says, oh yeah, okay, I believe you. No, I am not your priest, and no one else is your priest except Jesus Christ. And if you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit living in you, and he interprets Scripture for you. He brings understanding and clarity about Scripture to you directly. You don't need me in that sense. Now, the Bible says that pastors are given from God. I believe they're needed in the church as far as that goes. But in 1 John, it says you don't have need of anyone to teach you. In other words, your life does not depend on it. You depend on Jesus for life. You depend on the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You depend on God's truth for eternal life, yes. And God sends preachers. But that's the thing. You don't depend on any specific person. Okay, without this person, I couldn't go to heaven. Well, the person is Jesus Christ, yes. Without him, you can't go. But what is so special about God's word? Well, it is the word of God. It is quick, powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4, verse 12. It says, the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, a person will tell you that, yes, yes, I want to believe in God. I want to live a righteous life, but they're still living in sin. The word of God can deal with that. If you tell them, oh, no, you're just a terrible person. You're just living in sin. That won't convict anyone. It might make them hate you, but it won't convict them. If you don't preach the truth in love, we have the truth. The truth is the word of God. But if you don't bring it out in love, it's useless. If you read in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, it says, if you burn yourself for the sake of Christ, but you don't have love, it wouldn't be for the sake of Christ then. But if you burn up, you put your body to be burned for the sake of someone else, but you don't have love, it is useless. You've done it all for nothing. So that's what he says here. He says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. If you think that with your harsh words you're going to correct someone and bring them to the truth, then you're wrong. In the same book, 2 Timothy, a little bit later, again, this is a little bit more personal to Timothy than he's written before. He says in chapter 2, verse 24, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure, perhaps, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. In other words, God says, in order to correct someone, you got to come to them in love, bring the truth in love. You got to come in gentleness. You got to come in humility. You got to lay out the truth to them, that God perhaps might grant them repentance. If you think that with your defensive speak and your raised voice, you will correct someone, then you're wrong. Because the Spirit convicts the world, but also the believer. The Spirit convicts the believer of wrong. The Spirit corrects. So we are to hold those words, which are God's words, which we find in the Bible, which is the most sure word that we have from God, is from the Bible. It is quick and powerful, sharp, sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides soul and spirit, it says. And it divides the thoughts and intents of the heart, the intents that are true, the intents that are false. Because a person's intentions might be good, but they have no power to accomplish it. The Word of God even handles that. Paul writes in Ephesians 3, verse 8, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Where are those unsearchable riches found? In the depths of the ocean? No. The unsearchable riches of Christ are found in the Word of God. They're found in the Old Testament. They're found in the New Testament. The unsearchable riches of Christ. So it makes sense that Paul tells Timothy to guard God's Word. Hold it. Defend it. What else is God's Word? Well, it is a truth, as I already said. In John 8, verse 31, Jesus brings out more about the worth of God's Word. He says in John 8, verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews which believed in Him, if you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, the Word of God, living, active, sharper than a two-edged sword. But the Word of God also brings faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the Word of God also makes us free. You shall know, if you abide in My Word, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Right there, the Jews said, we are not slaves to anyone. We are children of Abraham. We are the free men. We are those who are free. And Jesus said, he who sins is a servant of sin and is not free. But if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. So what does the Word of God do? It makes us free. The Word of God is that which is wholesome, which is fulfilling, which is alive. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 3, Paul also writes to Timothy in the first epistle. He says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. And he tells Timothy that such a person is proud, knows nothing, but just spending his life with questions and strifes of words. If any man consent not to wholesome words. So, the word of God is that which is sound. 2 Timothy 1 verse 13, our passage. Hold fast the form of sound words. In 1 Timothy 6, he says, wholesome words. You know, you can write beautiful poems. You can write beautiful songs that have a lot of truth in them. But whatever is not from the Word of God is not 100% right. That doesn't mean that it's wrong. It doesn't mean that it's not good to write songs and poems and so on. But the first thing that we should defend is the Word of God. Wholesome words, sound words, that which is true, that which gives life. That is what we should take care of. Your friend might say something about, well, some people believe that Jesus was not a carpenter. Well, some believe he was a carpenter. Well, some believe his ministry started when he was 29, not when he was 30. What do those things matter? We don't need to spend energy defending those things. We need to tell them, if the Word of God doesn't tell us directly, it's not worth arguing about such things. It doesn't mean it's not good to study out things that the Word of God doesn't directly say. It can be good. But you don't go about defending things that are not relevant to what the Word of God teaches us. Why? Because the Word of God is sound words, wholesome words. It is that which we are to defend. If someone goes and attacks the Trinity, oh, Jesus is not God, or even Jesus is the same as the Father, he is exactly the same being. Well, the Bible makes distinctions. One is a son, one is a father. One, the son actually submits to the Father in the Word of God. We cannot understand exactly how it works, but we can understand, we can explain and defend what the Word of God teaches. So, to hold the truth, Paul writes later in 2 Timothy in chapter 3, verse 15, he says, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You see, this is the Word of God which brings salvation. If you think about life and you think about eternity, you think about your friends, you think about your children, you think about your brothers and sisters, is there anything that is more important to for them than eternal life? Is their health more important? Is their happiness more important? Are their feelings more important? No. None of that is more important than eternal life. From a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm talking about priorities here, but I'm not talking about, okay, if salvation and eternal life and the Word of God is the top priority, then everything else is should be thrown out the window. No, priorities mean this is first, this is second, this is third. So, the priority list says the Word of God is that which matters. Salvation is that which matters. Eternal life is that which matters. That is the first priority. That is which we should defend. If someone's feelings are hurt because we defend the Word of God, oh, then we'll back up and say, oh, I'm sorry your feelings were hurt. You could be wrong. You could be right too. No, if we know what is the truth, then we don't apologize for the Word of God because that is of utmost importance. Paul writes to Timothy that he should hold fast the form of sound words, but then he says, in faith and love. See, the balance here is holding fast the form of sound words doesn't mean that we're now cold. Okay, this is the truth of God. Take it or leave it or go to hell. You know, there are some preachers like that. They'll just go on the streets and preach everyone into hell. You all are going to hell. What kind of preaching is that? Does that sound like good news? No, not to me. Now, there may be a place to tell it to someone. I'm not saying you can't tell that to someone in the right place in the right time. But what I'm saying is, Paul writes to Timothy that this truth is to be held in faith and love. In faith, because you can believe it, but in faith means that you also live based on it. To hold the truth in faith means that you also live according to the truth. If you have true faith in God, your life will also show it. In James, it says, what is faith without works? If you have faith, but you don't have works, your faith is dead being alone. Your faith must have works. So this truth that we hold, this word of God that we hold, we are to hold in faith and love. In faith because we are to live it out, and in love because there is no other way that it is effective to the world. It is effective to anyone else unless we can bring it to them in love. It's not to say God can't use us in our bad days when we don't have love. God will still use us. But we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. We are to become more like Him. We are to hold this in love, in faith and love. David wrote in Psalm 119, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And then in verse 103, he says, "How sweet are your words unto my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth." David knows the value of God's word, and the reason why is because he had experienced it. When God promised something, God kept His word. God always keeps His promises. God always keeps His word. Ephesians 4 verse 15, Paul writes, "Speaking the truth in love, you may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Speaking the truth in love. Not speaking the truth in compromise. Speaking the truth in love. You don't need to tell someone you're going to hell, because that often just makes it look like you're looking for a fight. Again, there may be a right place to say it, but my point is, some people will try to scare someone into, oh, okay, I need to get out of it now. And that's not how God deals with His truth. God deals with His truth in faith. And we're supposed to deal with it in faith and love, knowing that God uses His truth to work in people. If we think it's our words that will bring someone to Christ, we are already mistaken. It is God's word brought to someone in faith and love. That's why we are to keep it in faith and love in Christ Jesus. This is also not just a New Testament thing. From the Old Testament, God said something and He already made a promise to one side and to the other side. He told them, "If you will hearken, if you will listen," Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 and 2, "to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all His commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." So God already told them there, look, my word is the truth. If you will listen to it, you will be blessed. But if not, you'll be cursed. Because it's the word of God. It's living, it's active, it's always true. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 14, he told them, you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you, to the right hand or to the left. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God. He says, look, my word is true. My word will stand, God says. If you obey it, you have life. If you don't, you'll be cursed. Why? Because God's word is living and active. It is worth to be defended. We don't go based on what someone else says and then, okay, I'm not going to say anything because someone else will not like me. In Joshua 23, verse 16, God says, when you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he has given unto you. God again tells them, look, I gave you my word. You will believe it and obey it, or you will suffer consequences. Because God does not go back on his word. So how do we defend God's word? I already went towards the way a little bit that some people do. It's like they get angry at you because you believe something differently from the word of God. Or we could say, oh, someone is wrong about God's word, just punch them, right? But what would that help? Where to instruct in meekness, 2 Timothy 2:25. And if we understand the power of God's word, Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Remember Hebrews 4, verse 12, the word of God, living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. Romans 1:16, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is not just an inspiration. There are some people who look at the word of God as an inspiration to them. Oh, I was inspired by your message. Oh, I was inspired by what you shared. The word of God is not to inspire us, not to make us feel good and, oh yeah, I will try to live a better life now because, oh, those words are so encouraging. You know why? Because then the next day, you forget them again. If you don't realize the Word of God has the power, then you just take on it as another inspirational word, which is equal to what Joel Osteen will tell you. He'll tell you you're a good person. He'll tell you that you just declare it and you'll be rich and happy and healthy and everything will go well for you. And it's an inspiration. Oh, I should do what he tells me to do. And so we cannot take the word of God as merely an inspiration. Oh, that inspired me today. Did it change you? Because the word of God changes people. It changes lives. It brings, first of all, a Christian from a state of death to a state of life. But then it goes further. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Salvation, first of all, is to receive eternal life. We have a new life in Christ. But secondly, it is to become more like Christ till the day when we see him face to face and all our sin is gone. That's salvation. Where all sin is gone, all hardships, all sickness and sadness is gone. That's where salvation is fully realized. So the Word of God, the power unto salvation, not an inspiration to be a better person. It may be in some ways, but that's not the purpose of God's word. Oh, it inspired me. You know, something will inspire you, and the next day, something in the opposite will inspire you, and you'll go do something for Satan again. Oh, I was inspired by God's word. If I do something good, God will bless me. That's an inspiration. And then the next day, your friend comes along and says, look, if you come and drink with me, you'll feel good. And you, oh yeah, that'll make me feel good. Let's do it. No, the word of God is different. It's not an inspiration in that sense. It's a changer. It's a life changer. It's the power of God unto salvation. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And if someone is converted from death to life, from being dead to being alive in Christ, from having no faith to having faith, believing in Christ, there is a change. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And God himself defends his word. How does he do it? In Deuteronomy 18, verse 20, God tells the people, if someone tells you something and they say, I am speaking from God, and it doesn't come to pass, don't be scared of them. It was not just that. He said the false prophet should be stoned. The false prophet should be killed who promise you something. Deuteronomy 18, verse 20, the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. So God himself defends his word. He says if there's a prophet who comes and says, look, I am speaking a word in the name of the Lord to you, and then it doesn't come to pass, don't pay any regard to such a person because God defends his word. If God has his preacher or his prophet tell you something, it'll come to pass. They tell you this and this will happen if you do this or if you don't do this, and you don't listen and you don't care, it'll come to pass because God defends his word. But if it doesn't come from God, you realize this is not happening, then you can say, oh, that person's not from God. He's saying this will come to pass and it doesn't come to pass, then you know he's not from God. So God himself defends his word. Paul wrote to Timothy in other places. I'll wrap up with this, but he says in 1 Timothy also to put the brethren in remembrance of these things. Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. He says in Ephesians 3, that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. The word of God, a mystery that was concealed but now revealed. Now it's opened up to us. The word of God, living and active, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. In 1 Timothy 6, Paul ends the book with saying to Timothy, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. In Titus 2, Paul also writes to Titus, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That is what he should speak and that is what he should hold. Sound speech. And that's what he says here. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwells in us. So first of all, we don't receive the word of God except by the Holy Ghost. We don't accept it but by the Holy Spirit. But secondly, we don't keep it but by the Holy Spirit. This is why apostasy is a real thing. People will claim to receive the word of God and it looks like they're receiving the word of God. It's like the seed that was sown among the thorns. It sprouts up, but then the thorns come and choke it and it dies. Or the seed that fell on stony ground and it shot up, but it didn't have any proper ground, roots. And the sun comes and it withers and dies. In a similar way, there are people who take in the word of God as if they're taking it, But then they abandon it and say, no, I'm just going to go my own way now. They're not keeping it because they don't have the Holy Spirit. He's telling him here, the good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost. In other words, you haven't received it by yourself and you're not going to keep it by yourself. But recognize that by God and His Spirit, you can keep it. You will keep it. So, there's a little bit of the perseverance of the saints in there. That if you truly believe on Christ, His Word is it comes from God, planted in your heart, has been turned into eternal life that has begun here and will go on forever, which will be kept by the Holy Spirit that is in you. Not by yourself, but by the Holy Spirit. So don't ever think that, okay, I can save myself, I can keep myself saved, I can learn the Word of God myself, I can keep it myself, I can learn more myself. No, all of that comes from God. We don't receive any good thing except from God. Like James says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Everything good comes from God. So that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost. We can't keep it by ourselves. It has to be through God and through His Spirit. So I hope that's an encouragement. Personally, guard God's Word in your heart. Keep it as the utmost importance, God's Word in your heart. And secondly, defend God's Word in public as well. Don't be ashamed of Christ and His Word. Speak the truth in love and ask God to help you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word, that You defend it Yourself. But Lord, help us to defend in the ways that we should, knowing that Your Word is powerful, active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It is through Your Word that there is salvation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. We thank You that You are good, You are God. Pray that You will bless us. Help us to serve You better. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.